Embrace Your Beautiful Destiny, a show where we will talk about finding beauty in the most unconventional places in our lives. So every week, we'll talk about dealing with disappointment or overcoming frustration, and dealing with stuff that just gets under your skin and derails you. We'll also have amazing guests on here that'll be sharing their stories. So I'm your host, Shanna Strange. Let's dive in. Hey, thanks for showing up. We're going to dive back into part two of my guest interview with Heather Schultz, where we talk about really discovering God's dream for our lives and kind of laying down our own dreams, but uncovering tons of beautiful revelations in the process. So here we go.
I just kind of really sensed that the Holy Spirit was saying, Heather, it's time to lay that down. Because even though you think you haven't identified yourself as a singer, you have. You've really identified your worth and your value because of your voice. And he goes, I really need you to shut that down.
Wow.
And see yourself the way I truly do see you. And I know, I mean, you know, 10 years ago we had the Pink Dress Ministry where we talked about helping women see themselves through God's eyes from a from like a beauty perspective. But I think now the Lord has just brought me through to a point where now he's saying, I'm not having you look at yourself from my view as far as beauty is concerned, but I'm having you look at yourself as far as your value and your worth, because you have wrapped yourself up and have believed the lie that your value is found in your gift. And it's not. It's not. Wow.
That's the heart of it right there, is because it could have been anything that you picked. You could have been a painter. You could have been an athlete. You could have been an actress, and you could have wrapped yourself in that gift, or, you know, used that as your identity. And I think that's the point of it all, is God is saying, that's not who you are. And as long as you keep going back to that, I'm going to have to strip it from your life. I mean, you know, and it may be that you never really sing at the level you want to again. I don't know. I mean, like, this could be me for me too. I mean, I've had to step out of worship teams when I didn't want to, because the Lord was like, this is not who you are anymore. And it's crushing to your spirit. I mean, it feels like part of you dies a little bit.
But
you know, it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And you find life and joy on the other side of it, you know?
Yeah. And I'm still learning to find that. I will be honest. I mean, it's not something that I'm saying I've conquered this, and it's not saying, okay, I have accepted the fact that God's right now, he's calling me to be a writer and a speaker. And no, I'm still struggling with it. I mean, it's a daily occurrence. It's almost like, you know, how we say we have to die to ourselves each day. I am literally dying to myself each day. I mean, and I even wrote it on a post-it note, Heather must die. morbid or whatever, but I did. I had to write it on a post-it note, and I stuck it on a like a little thing and on the wall in my kitchen because I'm in there the most, you know, cleaning and cooking all the time. But anyways, but when I start to start envisioning myself, like, gosh, if only the Lord would have allowed me to do this dream or that dream, or if I start to, you know, think, well, man, I'm not really a writer. I'm not really a singer. Maybe I shouldn't just, who am I kidding? Why am I doing this? And then I'll look at that post-it note, Heather must die. And it's just, it's a constant reminder for me of, you know what? My dream was my dream. That was not God's dream for me. And that dream has to die. It has to die. Now, does it mean that God can't resurrect that? Does it mean that he won't open doors later on in the future and say, okay, now I'm going to resurrect this thing and we're going to do something with this? Absolutely. He could totally do that. But where I am right now, and I think the work that he's doing internally on me, he's just saying right now, that dream is keeping you from growing and seeing yourself the way I need.
Oh, that's such a good way to see it too, because I think the truth is for me, if God hadn't have shut doors, I would have never, ever started writing. I would have never started speaking more and seeing myself in these different ways. Like, we see ourselves in this box, like, this is what I am. But God sees us as a whole person who's fully capable of lots of things.
Yes.
And I think we need to, you know, I think it's seasonal sometimes. It doesn't change our identity, but our function and our role may change a little bit. And we just need to embrace that and enjoy that season. Okay, well, this season God's calling me to write. I'm going to just dive in and I'm going to write. But never identify yourself as a writer. I mean,
right.
We need to do that for marketing purposes. But I think to know in your heart, I'm bigger than a title. I'm bigger than a position and then a role. Like, I am his child and I can do. I mean, I think the sky's the limit and we need to look at it like that. Like, I get to partner with him in whatever creative way he wants to express himself. I'm just the vessel he's doing it through. Instead of, oh, God took that from me and now I have to do this. I mean, because we get locked into that and then we feel like God is not good and he's withholding something from us.
Yeah.
Which can be a trap, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. No, I totally agree. And that's the thing is, you know, having laying down the dream of being a singer and pigeonholing myself saying, well, I'm just a singer. It really did close my mind to other gifts that I had in me that I didn't even know that I had because I was so focused on that one gift that I wasn't even open to the other gifts that maybe God has placed inside me that I didn't even know existed, you know, like you said. And now, I mean, I think God has shown me that, you know, there is something inside of me that he wants to bring out. And if anything, it's just sharing the journey of the healing process that he's been doing in my life. Mm-hmm. If anything, well, one, it helps me to heal. You know, when we write out our feelings and write out the things that we've learned, it not only helps us heal, but it also helps others.
Absolutely.
If they've been struggling with the same thing, I mean, we go and we share it. We, you know, we say, hey man, this is where I've been struggling. This is what I've been dealing with, but here's what God's taught me. How do you know what people are out there listening and they're going, man, they're speaking my language right now.
Yeah.
Like, right. I totally have thought those thoughts or have felt those feelings and I haven't known what to do with that. Oh my gosh. Well, here's how they got through it. And okay, Lord, are you using this to teach me what I need to be doing or better yet, what you're doing in my life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm thoroughly convinced now that he does what he does, not only for us and for our sakes, but for others as well. And I think, when I look back over my life, my dream was about me.
Yeah.
I mean, it really was. Yeah. I mean, although I covered it in saying, well, I want to sing songs to the Lord and I want to do it to minister to people. No, it was really just, it was about me. It really was. It was about me and performing and making myself look good in front of a lot of people. And because I wanted to convince myself that I was worthy by doing those things. But it really, if it's about us, it's not, it's going nowhere. It's going nowhere. It's when it's about, when it's truly about loving God and loving others through everything, that's when it means the most, you know?
So that's what you're doing now is you're blogging. So tell me a little bit about what your ministry is looking like now, what you're doing.
Well, right now, yes, I'm blogging. I'm doing lots of writing and, so right now my focus really is on just building up the online, ministry, which is, I'm trying to post, new blogs each week for people, and trying to just kind of get that up and running and everything. It's going to take some time, of course, but eventually, right now I've been working on a book, can't really say when that will be out yet.
Okay, what is it about? Can you tell us what it's about? Are you at liberty?
Well, yes. Well, here's the thing is I've written the whole first draft.
Okay.
And then we've come to the conclusion that we're going to have to do quite a bit of rewrites to structure to a general idea. But the general idea is we're going to be talking about performance. I mean, pretty much everything we're talking about here, but even in more detail and in a lot deeper discussion, but really just my struggle with performance through my entire life. And then the journey that God has had me on to lead me out. And we're even thinking about, don't tell anybody I told you this, but but we're thinking about even calling it Leaving Performanceville. I don't know if that's for sure the title yet, but that's kind of the idea we're going
with.
But it's talking about the journey of leaving the place that that we've lived in for so long, that we've lived in these lies that we have to perform to earn God's love and earn love from other people and approval. You know, that's a big thing. But leaving that behind and truly accepting the fact.
Right. No, I'm just laughing because because I wrote an entire chapter. I think it was called Providential Prisons, which I did not include in my book, but I talk about the circus thing. And so I had this thought, I was like, okay, I left that chapter out, but I think it's supposed to be a whole book. So I was like, what if I call it Leaving the Circus? So it's funny because you're like leaving.
That is funny. Of course.
Learn the same lessons. It's crazy. It is. You know?
It never ceases to amaze me that the journeys that God has us on, they're always so parallel with the life lessons that he's teaching.
Yeah. So you're working on the book, you're doing the blogs. Are you doing anything else? Like you're building the foundation for some other things?
Yes. Well, right now we are working on our developing the framework that we're going to be undertaking to eventually start a discipleship program. And that will be, of course, that's going to be a little down the road because we still have quite a bit of work to do for development on that. But eventually it's going to be set up to where I'll have a program where I can work either by small groups or even one-on-one coaching where people can come in and they actually do walk with me step by step through the journey of leaving Performanceville.
Oh, that's so good.
And it's going to be lots of study, probably lots of reading, but lots of writing because I think writing is where we can really, gosh, lots of healing can happen in writing.
I agree.
You know, because you're writing down things that maybe thoughts maybe that you've had deep down, but you never really confessed or said, you know, and I truly believe that, man, healing comes from sharing your testimony. If anything, even if you're just writing it and you're even writing prayers to God, I mean, just to get it out and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to be open and honest with you. Here's, because he already knows, he already knows, but it's just coming before him and saying, or these are thoughts that I've had. These are feelings that I'm having. And really coming to a place of saying, okay, the first thing is I got to admit it. I got to admit that this is what's going on. And then allowing him to take that and then having him reveal to you and show you, okay, why are you having those feelings? Where did this come from? And really going on a journey in your life and going back and taking a look back and going, okay, there's a core wound somewhere. Something happened at some point in life that really wounded me deeply.
Right.
And over the course of time, we never really healed from that wound. We just covered it up as time went on and we never grieved that wound. We never sought forgiveness for that wound. We never allowed ourselves to accept the loss that happened because of that wound. And we've just, it's kind of like we just kind of held on to it and said, no, I'm not going to let, Lord, I'm not letting you touch this wound. This is mine. And I'm not letting you touch it. While the he's going, let me have it.
And that's so much of the reason why we're going out into this performance mentality is because we're trying to deal with the wound through some kind of external, you know, way instead of internally letting God deal with that wound and heal us so that we can rest in our true identity and then move from that place.
Yes.
But we don't see it that way.
We don't see it that way.
We don't want to do that deep work that it requires for healing. It's really about uncovering lies. I mean, that's so much of the work that I do with people too, is to just get to those roots. And it takes a while because you, it's a blind spot for you. You don't see it. You don't know you're doing that. It takes somebody else looking in from the outside and saying, okay, now I'm seeing what's going on. Let me help you get through this so you can be free.
Yes, exactly. Well, and that's what happened with me, because, you know, when we had the Pink Dress Ministry 10 years ago, I mean, I always thought, well, I already know, you know, my issue has always been self-esteem, because that's where I felt like that's where I've always struggled the most, was, you know, always comparing myself to other people and thinking I wasn't good enough or prettier enough or whatever, like everybody else. But it took me going through the healing process and the Lord uncovering that, no, self-esteem is just a byproduct of what's going on deeper down inside.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a weed.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like there's a root in the soil that we don't see. All we see is the weed that's grown up for all to see. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So when we go and we want to get rid of our weeds, let's just say we have a weed in the yard, right? That's like growing super tall. Well, what do? We normally go out and we just mow over it. Like, okay, we're just going to mow it down and it's all good. No, what's going to happen is in a couple of days, you get a little sun, you get a little rain, and that weed's going to go boop, and it's going to pop right back out again. And we just think, oh, the problem is the weed. No, the problem's not the weed. The problem's the root. As long as that root is there, it's that weed is constantly going to be sprouting back up.
Yeah.
And I think the same is true, like for my self-esteem issue. My self-esteem was the weed, but it wasn't the root.
Right.
The root was underneath and I couldn't see it.
Right. So what would you classify the root as?
Well, it would be anything that your core wound is. So that's going to look different for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
For mine, we had to trace it way back. Like, at first I thought that my core wound happened when I was in the second grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I've told this story on a few other little things before, but anyway, that's another story for another day. But anyway, as we dug a little bit deeper, we found that my core wound actually came, and get this, I know this sounds bizarre, but it comes from when I was only 2 years old.
Wow.
2 years old. And I know some people are like, how could you be wounded at 2 years old and like remember that? I can't explain it. But I absolutely remember this one little memory of when I was two, and it was when my sister was born.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being at my aunt's house, my mom and dad. My mom was pregnant with my sister, and she had gone to the hospital to deliver my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they had prepared me for her by saying, oh, we're going to bring home a baby sister, you know, and they were trying to prepare me for it up to that point. But I guess in my little baby mind, I thought, oh, they're going to bring me a new baby doll. So I was expecting, okay, I'm going to get a little baby I get to hold and have fun with and play with. But I remember the day that my parents showed up at my aunt's house with my baby sister, and they called me in. They said, Heather, come see your new baby sister. And I walked in there and I saw her in the little carrier thing, and everybody was making over her. Like everybody was talking about, oh, how precious, you know, the baby is and everything. And all of a sudden I remember just being on the verge of tears. And I ran off to my cousin's room and shut the door and started playing again. And I can remember in my little 2 year old brain, I can remember thinking, Heather, you're not good enough anymore. They went and got a new baby to replace you because they don't love you anymore.
Wow.
How does a two-year-old have that thought? How?
Definitely from the mouth of Satan, for sure.
Right?
You're just whispering those lies.
Whispering the lies that I was not worthy, that I wasn't good enough, so my parents had to go get another child to replace me.
Mm.
And do you know that one lie carried me through my entire life? That is why I felt like I was never good enough.
Mm-hmm.
I was always having the lies being spoken as we were growing up as kids, that my sister was better than me. She was prettier than me. She was funnier than me. Everybody loved her more than me. And it just became more and more detrimental to my own health. And I truly believe that, why am I, you know, I even hit a point when I was 16, like, why am I even living? God, why did you even make me? I mean, if you were going to make my sister be so much greater than me, why even go through the trouble of making me? Why didn't you just skip over me and just let her be born and be done?
Mm-hmm.
But it's taken this long for him to show me, because I have a plan and I have a purpose for you, Heather, and you are loved you are loved, and you were told lies as a child that were not true. And
do you think that's where all the striving came from too for you? Like the striving to be this great music, like if I could be a great music artist, then I can, you know, overcome this flaw or this insufficient person that I am.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, well, it did. It spun me into this, well, I say workaholism, but yeah, it's the striving that I entered in. I was like, I have to prove myself. Mm-hmm. I have to prove that I'm just as good as my sister. I have to prove that there is something good about me. If I could just find what it is and be super excellent at it, then people will love me. Then people will love me. And what I found is, yeah, singing would give me attention for a short time. Mm-hmm. But as soon as it wore off, what happened? I was back to being me again. And oh boy, I need something else for people to love me again. So I went on this whole like thing where I was constantly having to earn, okay, what's my next thing? What's my next task? What's my next performance?
Yeah.
So I can earn love, so I can earn the accolades that I so deeply need, because without them, I am nothing.
But until you slowed down enough, or God slowed you down, you didn't even know that was going on.
Right.
It was like on autopilot, just drive, just driven, driven.
Yeah, like a hamster in a wheel.
Yeah, we know that the Spirit does not drive us. He leads us.
Exactly.
And I think that's totally different. And I think there's a lot of people who are trapped in the hamster wheel of being driven and thinking that it's God pushing them, and it's not. It's the spirit of strife.
Yes.
Behind it all. And it's performance really is what it is. And which I think is a spinoff of like a religious spirit, like feeling that, that spirit of religion that says I have to do in order to be loved.
Yeah.
Is driving the whole bus. And we all need to get off of the bus.
We need to get off the bus, people. Off the
And be free. Because I think God wants us free and happy and joyful and at a relaxed pace. We have adopted in America, especially in any civilized nation, I think has adopted this pace that is out of control for everyone. Running here, running there, stuffing your schedule to the point that you can barely breathe and thinking that somehow bringing us success or something, but that's not the pace that God has for us.
No.
I think he has a much slower pace in mind.
I agree with that. Yeah. I totally agree with that, especially when you read scripture and when you read, be still and know that I'm God, you know, when you read, is it in the Psalms that's talking about, you know, as the deer panteth by the water, you know, he leads me by still waters.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, like you're not, you think about water, let's just take that there. He leads me by still waters. When you think about that, what do you think of? Like you think of like a little rippling brook, right? Mm-hmm. Not like the rapids, you know, go ride the rapids. Woohoo! Yeah. I'm gonna go, you know, which, you know, some people find that fun and that's great, but that's not really my cup of tea. But anyway, I would much rather be sitting on a little boulder next to a little bubbling brook and just enjoying the nature and the peace that it brings. And I think that that's what he calls us to too, but we're so boggled down with all the to-dos and all the schedules and all the everything we're trying to accomplish.
The pressure, like the external pressure from the world system, which says do, you know, as opposed to just be in God's presence and let him lead you. And man, this has been amazing. I'm probably going to have to split this up into two episodes, which is great for me because that just gives me more too. But I wanted to kind of leave, let the people know how they can find you. So let's see. Just tell us where how they can find you and keep up with you, because I know you're going to be, you're building these foundations, you know, and at some point you're going to be releasing resources and things like that. So how can they keep up with you?
You can go to my website, which is heatherschultz.org, and Schultz is spelled S-C-H-U-L-T-Z. Mm-hmm. So that's heatherschultz.org. And then I have a Facebook ministry page. Just look up Heather Schultz Ministries, and you can find frequent updates there. Whenever I post new material and new content, it goes there. And Instagram, it's Heather_Fawn_Schultz. And that's Fawn, like a deer, like, you know, F-A-W-N. Yes, my parents named me with an animal for a middle name.
Awesome. Yeah. So do you have like a email list people can sign up for yet?
I'm working on that.
Okay.
It will be up soon. And so, yes. So whenever that happens, I will definitely stay plugged into Facebook because that's where I'll be updating all that info.
Yeah, y'all need to get connected to her on Facebook for sure so that you can keep up with her blogs, which I know you've been releasing every week and they're awesome. So very insightful. So I'm super glad you joined me today. And I mean, I think it was really cool to just talk about some of this stuff. And at first, it's like you don't want to go there and you don't want to talk about it, but then you start to talk about it and you see the beauty that came out of the season, which was God setting you free, honestly.
Yeah.
Performance.
Yes.
So,
and it's ongoing, and that's the thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think some people might say, well, I'm completely healed. I'm completely, you know, yes, mm-hmm. God does heal us in that. But just remember that we're still a work in progress. Mm-hmm. So there are still going to be days where we're going to kind of
have moments,
maybe revert back. Yeah, a little bit. But then it's always good to, you know, Holy Spirit reminds us. And mm-hmm. so it's just a matter of staying in tune with him and listening and saying, okay, Lord, you taught me this. So, mm-hmm. okay, I got to get back. So.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing all that with us today. And I know it's going to be a blessing. So, all right.
Yay. Well, thank you for having me on, Shanna.
You're welcome.
Hey, so I hope you enjoyed that interview with my friend Heather, and I think that we really uncovered some super deep stuff that could help maybe get you unstuck in some places. If you have been walking in a journey for a while with God and you have a dream and maybe it's crashed and burned several times, there are so many things, there's so many lessons that can be learned in those seasons. And one of those is that, you know, disappointment often leads us to the real appointment that God has for you. And that's painful, but it's true. And so sometimes what you have to do is kind of look back and look at those spiritual markers that you have in your life and the moments when God intervened and maybe shut doors or maybe he opened doors. And some, that's how he got you to where you are right now. But even with the painful ones, it's important to look back and to work through and process some of that grief that you went through. So I really want to encourage you right now to reach out to friends or even possibly consider finding a good Christian therapist because it can really help unravel some of the mystery that you have, that you're dealing with, and some of the confusion and the frustration that you might be walking through. I think there's such a taboo on counseling and therapists in general, which really bothers me because one of the things I do is called belief therapy, which is a form of Christian counseling. And basically, I just help people uncover the root lie, which is pretty much what Heather's going to be doing with her ministry when she gets that off the ground. And so I would just encourage you to find someone to talk to about it because you really need to get those lies out of you so that you can move on with your life and move into the destiny that God has for you. Hey friends, thanks for joining me on this episode. I hope that you enjoyed it. Here are some ways that you can connect with me. You can go to Facebook and look up Shanna Strange Ministries. You can go to shannastrange.net to my website, or you can go to Instagram. It's Shanna_Strange. I'll see you next week.